has been detected in Central Africa and has a death rate up to 10%. Clues have also emerged as to how the outbreak might have begun. Although researchers need more data to confirm their suspicions, the sequences they have evaluated so far are nearly identical, suggesting that the recent outbreaks outside of Africa might all be linked back to a single case with a thorough epidemiological investigation. The current sequences are most similar to those from a smattering of monkeypox cases that arose outside of Africa in 2018 and 2019, and that were linked to travel in Western Africa. The simplest explanation is that the person who had the first non-African case this year, who has still not been identified, became infected through contact with an animal or human carrying the virus while visiting a similar part of Africa, says Bernie Moss, a virologist at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease in Bethesda, Maryland. But other explanations cannot be ruled out, says Gustavo Palacios, a virologist at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York City. It's possible that the virus was already circulating undetected outside of Africa in humans or animals introduced during earlier outbreaks. This hypothesis, however, is less likely because the monkeypox virus usually causes visible lesions on people's bodies, which would probably be brought to the attention of a physician. Understanding whether there is a genetic basis for the virus's unprecedented spread outside Africa will be incredibly difficult, says Eliot Lefkowitz, a computational virologist at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, who has studied pox virus evolution. Researchers are still struggling to characterize precisely which genes are responsible for the higher virulence and transmissibility of the Central African strain compared with the West African one more than 17 years after they identified a difference between the two. One reason for this is that pox virus genomes contain many mysteries. Lefkowitz says the monkeypox genome is enormous relative to that of many other viruses. It is more than 6 times as large as the genome for SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus. That means they're at least 6 times harder to analyze. Lassieu says another reason is that few resources have been dedicated to genomic surveillance efforts in Africa, where monkeypox has been a public health concern for many years. So virologists are flying somewhat blind right now because they have few sequences to which they can compare the new monkeypox sequences. Funding agencies have not heeded scientists who have been warning for more than a decade that further monkeypox outbreaks could occur. Ifedayo Adeta, the head of the Nigeria Center for Disease Control, says that African virologists he has spoken with have expressed irritation that they have struggled to garner funding and publish studies about monkeypox for years. But now that it's spread outside the continent, public health authorities worldwide suddenly seem more interested. To understand how the virus evolves, it would also be useful to sequence the virus in animals. The virus is known to infect animals, mainly rodents such as squirrels and rats, but scientists have yet to discover its natural animal reservoir in the impacted areas of Africa. Since the current outbreaks began, some nations have been procuring smallpox vaccines, which are thought to be highly effective against monkeypox, because the viruses are related. Unlike the vaccines against COVID-19, which take up to 2 weeks to offer full protection, smallpox vaccines are thought to protect against monkeypox infection if administered within 4 days of exposure because of the virus's long incubation period, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta, Georgia. If deployed, the vaccines would probably be applied using a ring vaccination strategy, which would inoculate close contacts of infected people. Andrea McCollum, an epidemiologist who heads the pox virus team at CDC, says the agency is not yet deploying a ring vaccination strategy. But in the meantime, CNN reports that the U.S. plans to offer smallpox vaccines for some healthcare workers treating infected people. It might also be worth considering vaccinating groups at higher risk of infection in addition to close contacts of infected people. Although the risk is low, scientists say, the main concern is that scientists wouldn't know if such a spillover event occurred until it was too late, because infected animals don't typically show the same visible symptoms as humans.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in His image, then placed the world in His care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. This is Muhammad Javad hosting this program, and my two guest speakers in the studio I've invited are Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah. Brother Hussein, salam alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam, glad to be here.
Sayyid Abdullah, salam alaikum, welcome to the studio.
Wa alaikum salam and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Today, let's start criticizing the movie Hotel Mumbai. This is a 2018 action thriller movie directed by Anthony Maras, if I'm not mistaken, in terms of the pronunciation of its last name. Well, starring Dev Patel, Armie Hammer, and so many actors and actresses. The whole movie is about the hotel staff risking everything to keep its patrons, the hotel patrons, safe during a terror attack, especially a British heiress, her husband, and her infant. Before we talk about this movie and the beginning of our critique of this movie with Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah, let's take a short listen to a part of this movie or a trailer of this movie, and then we'll be back criticizing it.
Hey man, how's Perfect, thank you. Dinji, where am I tonight?
Shall we arrest you?
Remember always, here at the Taj is God.
Let's move!
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program, in which we try to criticize the movies, not necessarily based on the movie artistic features, usually based on their themes, such as this one and the previous movie that we try to give a critique about. Today in this episode, we are trying to criticize the movie Hotel Mumbai, directed by Anthony Maras, produced in 2018. This is the budget that we are talking about. The budget of this movie was $17.3 million. However, the box office was $21.1 million. And Rotten Tomatoes holds the approval rating of 76% with the average of 6.8 out of 10. Whereas Metacritic gives an average score of 62 out of 100. Sayyid Abdullah, how did you like this movie?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The movie was okay. I mean, it was quite, in terms of the way they tried to draw the events and what took place. It was very direct, very up to the point. There was no time wasted.
Mm-hmm.
So from the beginning of the movie was like, if you take the first 5 minutes and then it's just bang, bang, kind of kill 'em movie.
Yeah.
So they were very direct, very straight to the point. So it was, it kind of kept you watching the whole time without having to lose focus.
I see. How about you, Brother Hussein? How did you like the movie? Did you like it at all? Like the previous movie, Patriot's Day?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I mean, it was good. I still liked it. But this movie was intense. I mean, it was very vulgar. It was very controversial, mm-hmm. actually. But overall, it was pretty well made. I liked the flow of it. It was pretty nice, actually.
Mm-hmm. You know that it was based on true event, which happened in 26th of November 2008.
Yeah,
actually.
I mean, obviously, the true event wasn't as good as a movie, but... it's still a big
the
tragedy.
Event is not as good as the movie?
I mean, it wasn't good at all.
Okay, but, so you want more real
No, but
action,
the movie itself, right? It was not bad. It was like Brother Abdullah said, it was pretty straight to the point.
Yes, I see. Okay, before we again criticize this part of the movie, let's take a listen to that part, and then we'll be back talking about that part and criticizing the movie Hotel Mumbai, produced in 2018, directed by Anthony Maras. Stay with us.
Tussi taakatwar mehsoos kar rahe ho. ਤੁਸੀਂ ਸਕੂਨ ਮਹਿਸੂਸ ਕਰ ਰਹੇ ਹੋ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਦਿਲਾਂ ਦਿਮਾਗ ਵਿੱਚ ਕੋਈ ਡਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਭਾਈਆਂ ਦੀ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਮੈਂ ਨਜ਼ਰ ਆਵਾਂਗਾ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਚੋਂ ਹਰ ਕੋਈ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਆਪਣੇ ਪੁੱਤਰ ਦੀ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਹੀ ਅਜ਼ੀਜ਼ ਹੈ ਮੈਂ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਨਾਲ ਹਾਂ अल्लाह तोड़े नाल है जन्नत तोड़ा इंतजार कर रही है अल्लाह अकबर
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We are trying to criticize the movie Hotel Mumbai, a 2018 action thriller movie. Which was based on true events, which happened, in fact, on 26th of November 2008. Of course, the movie was produced in 2018, 10 years after the bombing and the terrorist act on in fact, Hotel Mumbai. Well, you know, there is this pep talk, Sayyid Abdullah, by, of course, the mastermind on the other end of the line on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, they're shouting, or the mastermind on the phone talking to some of these, or group of terrorists in Urdu, suggesting that no fear, you're going to go straight to paradise or heaven. And it ends with God is great. Yes. Allahu Akbar.
Always.
Right? Always. Yeah. Why is it always like this? Isn't the goal of the media of the sort to, like, destroy the image of Islam one way or another?
Well, with all these terrorist actions, and, like, whether it's in real life, the thing that I hate about movies is that they never try to portray the actual reasons to why people commit what they commit. For example, in Mumbai, Mumbai itself, if you look at the history of it, for years, like since the 90s, it's been subject to terrorist attacks by the Pakistanis. And if you read the history correct, you'll see that Pakistanis and Indians, before Pakistan even became a country, it was part of India. Mm-hmm. So they always had this feud between them. And even to recent years, it almost turned into a nuclear war. Mm-hmm. So they kind of have this
feud. There are
feud
a couple of
them.
These regions, if I'm not mistaken, like Kashmir, for example, which is like subject to lots of controversies and
exactly.
disputes.
So Kashmir itself was under
between
siege.
India and Pakistan.
Yeah, Kashmir itself was under siege like a couple of years ago by the Indian police and stuff like that, and a lot of people got killed.
And also Bangladesh, which got separated.
Exactly. So the Muslims back then in these regions, they were prosecuted by the Indians, or by the Indian government itself. Mm-hmm. So these people are retaliating for what they think is an abuse of India and its government. Mm-hmm. So it's
but
not
under the flag of religion. Or
exactly.
Something like
so
that.
It's not. The motive is not Islamic motive as much as it's trying to take revenge on what's happening to you and to your land.
Yes.
But when it comes to the movie, though, it becomes an Islamic terrorist. Because now we have the perfect cake to present to the world to dig in. Islam, let's dig, right? So, and then again, like you said, you began with Allahu Akbar. Why do terrorists say Allahu Akbar? Well, I mean, if I want to go fight, I've been to battle myself many times. I've never said Allahu Akbar when I had to fire my weapon. Why? I might say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, but Allahu Akbar. So that's the thing, because, you know, when you try to put a word, and like any Christian now, any person in the West, when you say to them Islam, they know, everyone knows Allahu Akbar. Yeah. Everyone knows Allahu Akbar.
They
so
do.
When if they hear it in the Adhan, when the Adhan goes and say, the first thing we say in Adhan is what?
Yeah,
Allahu Akbar, right? Four times in Adhan. It's like, oh, here we go again, right? So they're trying to associate anything
also
bad
hear,
with Allah.
Sayyid Abdullah, but we also hear this terminology or expression, whatsoever it is that you want to call, in lots of like video clips that come on like virtual world or cyberspace, like suggesting that a group of Muslims shouting Allahu Akbar when anything goes wrong, like a bomb explosion, a mortar explosion, whatever.
No, I mean, if you're talking about normal civilians,
yes.
Okay. Now, me as a person, when something happens, and something, especially if it's out of the ordinary,
as a Muslim, what do you say?
Yeah, I would bring Allah's name. But yeah, I mean, I hardly seen people. I mean, I've seen people in bombings. I don't see them saying Allahu Akbar. I mean, you know, people will be running for their lives, here alone saying Allahu Akbar. So even the movies that you're talking about, or the clips that comes out, I don't think people. I mean. I've seen a lot of explosion clips.
Yes.
I've never seen people say Allahu Akbar.
If I can interrupt you.
Maybe
very quickly,
a bit.
I think it's more of like a go-to word. Like, you know, when you say, oh my God, right? Like when you see something, you say, oh my God.
Yes.
Oh my
or say Allah.
Jesus, for example.
Yeah.
Like
I think
say.
The people who reported the situation were not Muslims. So, you know, right away their minds went to, you know, there's something, they're saying something in a foreign language and it has Allah in it or something like that. Maybe they were saying mashallah or inshallah or whatever. And they took that as, you know what? It's probably Allahu Akbar. So just write Allahu Akbar.
No, but I mean, I doubt. I mean, the terrorists, they might be saying Allahu Akbar. You never know. But I mean, the media, why do they concentrate so much on the word Allahu exactly. Akbar? I mean, even that's when they were doing their thing, like even when they're not shooting people, they were saying Allahu Akbar. Like saying, okay, you go, here, you go, Allahu Akbar. I'm like, it's not like a goodbye
to the
thing.
Survivors yeah. who heard them and reported back to the thing, right? That's how we know the story.
But there are scenes where these guys by themselves, they're not with people.
Yeah.
And they still, like, when they say
exactly.
to the boy,
so, they
say,
Allahu Akbar. Know. They're like, you know what? Let's just put Allahu Akbar. It sounds right.
Well, there you go. Why Allahu Akbar?
Terrorists, Allahu Akbar?
Is it, yeah. Exactly. Right, so they're right? trying to associate anything bad
exactly.
with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simple as that.
Yes, exactly. And they did it so much, and they emphasized it or highlighted it so much that everybody, even non-Muslim, knows it, all right? When someone just shouts in the bus or
if you say
on
Allah,
the plane.
If you just say Allah, now people like get scared
because
that word's in their mind.
They get shocked or something.
I'll tell you a funny story that happened. So my sister once was on the plane, and when the plane took off, she got scared. She said, "Ya Allah." And everyone around, they ducked in. Right? Because she kind of shouted. She was
young.
What
is ducking going to do?
Yeah.
Right? So everyone ducked in. They thought, like, all right, here we go. She was dressed in black.
Yeah.
Can't see nothing from her face. She's going to blow herself up. So that's exactly what's happening, that people drone anything terrorism with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah. And you, Brother Hussein, for your nice contribution, for being with us in the studio, criticizing the movie Hotel Mumbai, produced in 2018. Directed by Anthony Maras. This is Muhammad Jawad hosting this program. The program was Viewpoint, the movie critic program. We try to criticize Hotel Mumbai. Thank you very much for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
There's been a big shooting at the CST station.
Nada. You're very safe here.
Security, can we get security now?
Let them in!
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and since we're still basking in the birthday anniversary celebrations of our innocent lady of Qom, Hazrat Fatima Masumeh, peace be upon her, the daughter of the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him, let us listen to a saying in her honour, by her nephew, Imam Muhammad al-Taghi al-Jawad, peace be upon him. Whoever visits the tomb of my aunt in Qom, aware of her status, will be granted paradise by God Almighty.
This is IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
These days, it's easier than ever to get lost in the virtual world. A unique museum in the U.S. is using augmented reality for visitors to plug into a thrilling experience about the Earth's environmental challenges. The New York Museum is called Arcadia Earth. It offers a large-scale, multisensorial journey through underwater worlds, mountains, savannas, and inspirational fantasy lands. Each exhibit is brought to life through immersive technology and animated by augmented and virtual reality, including projection mapping. One installation is made of 44,000 plastic bags, the amount used in New York every minute before a plastic bag ban was implemented. The museum founder says the goal is to raise awareness about the impacts of climate change in a fun way.
The intention is to inspire people to come and leveraging game and immersive beauty to deliver a message. And I think that if this technique were to be used in school, we will so learn much more and every kid will want to go to school. And at the end of the day, the purpose is just to deliver the message. The tools are just techniques. So I really think that this technique, it's super fun and will work for everyone.
Vittori added that the experience is meant to encourage people to be proactive in protecting the planet. The exhibit also spotlights other environmental challenges such as overfishing and food waste. Proceeds from tickets sold are used to plant mangrove trees. This exhibit has been held in several cities across the United States, and each time proceeds have been used to support various environmental causes.
A man in the city of Soran in Iraq's autonomous Kurdistan region has become a local celebrity for a rather peculiar feature on his face. Hussein Abdullah Ahmed is famous for a record-breaking length of his mustache. Ahmed has been going by the name Mr. Mustache for decades now. His mustache has reached a length of 2.4 meters, making him a well-known man in the city he hails from. His son says, however, that his father's unusual feature is nothing new for him.
I've always known my father likes this since I was born. Although there were times when I had seen his mustache short. My dad is famous for his mustache, and we're proud of him.
Ahmed admits his mustache troubles him while working on the farm or trying to sleep. But to avoid the trouble, he either ties it from behind or stuffs it under his clothes. The 73-year-old man is not planning to get rid of his facial hair, which he hasn't trimmed since 1994. He seems to be enjoying the ride of fame as people stop him on the streets to take selfies with him.
A bridge too scary for many, but just the right place for those with a head for heights. Vietnam has opened the world's longest glass-bottom bridge to the public.
The now recorded longest glass-bottom cliffside pathway, and it's spectacular, the engineering required to build that into the side of a cliff but maintain all the features of nature, the greenery, the rock, has been an amazing project, very successful, and I think it will attract a lot of tourists.
The White Dragon Suspension Bridge fittingly opened with a dragon dance. The structure is longer than the previous record holder in China and has two sections. One stretches over 630 meters between two mountains, while the other runs around a cliffside. Visitors can look straight down at the valley 150 meters below. The structure is safe and made from three layers of 40 millimeter tempered glass. The contemporary ceramics exhibition kicks off at the Villa d'Atres Art Foundation near the French city of Avignon. The exhibit showcases nearly 130 artworks of all sizes. Some are so big they are put on display outdoors. The foundation has curated these modern forms from roughly 100 artists from all over the world. The exhibit displays an exceptional diversity of eclectic works presenting sophisticated skills and artistry. Participating artists say working with clay and playing with glazes always produces a unique item that often generates a profoundly universal reaction. The goal of the event is to show how ceramic art has returned to the forefront of the contemporary art scene. The annual Vivid Life Festival has returned to Sydney after being cancelled 2 years in a row due to the coronavirus pandemic. The event kicked off with fireworks and lighting the sails of the Sydney Opera House. Iconic structures like the Sydney Harbour Bridge and the Museum of Contemporary Art Australia are part of a series of new canvases this time around. As an added treat, the 2022 festival also has the longest continuous light walk in the history of the event. Plus, this year's highlights include a choreographed light show by 600 drones. Both residents and tourists have been anticipating the return of this show.
I saw it about 8 years ago, I think, and it's just got better and better, as far as I can tell. I mean, the Opera House is the most amazing canvas possible to project, this just amazing digital artwork. The vibrancy of it, the colour of it, the animation of it, the explosiveness of it, the colour just bursts out in just amazing ways. That the snakes, the chameleons, the lizards crawling across it.
The Harbour City will glow with 50 light installations, DD projection artworks, as well as over 100 musical events. Vivid Sydney is an annual festival that lasts for 23 nights, infusing art, innovation and technology while collaborating with boundary-pushing artists. In 2019, the festival attracted millions of attendees. The event is owned and managed by the Tourism and Major Events Agency of the Government of New South Wales. Chilean scientists believe they have found the world's oldest living tree in a lush green forest in the south of the country. The scientists say their study shows an ancient cypress known as the Great Grandfather might have been beaten the record for the world's oldest tree by six centuries. The bristlecone pine tree in eastern California is the current record holder with over 4,800 years of age. The scientist who led the study says the sample they extracted and other dating methods suggest that the Chilean cypress with a 4 meter thick trunk is over 5,000 years old.
We could count all the rings, but we know it's not the tree's age. It's an estimation of what we call a minimum age. So for this kind of tree, the scientific challenge is to estimate with science the part that we do not see and that is missing. And that is what we did with the millennial alerce. This method tells us that 80% of all possible growth trajectories give us an age of this living tree greater than 5,000 years. there's only a 20% chance that the tree is younger.
Borisovich is, however, concerned about visitors harming the tree, which is located in the Costero National Park. He says visitors are still able to circle the tree's base, step on its roots, and even take pieces of its bark. The tree is a conifer native to Chile and Argentina and can grow to heights of up to 45 meters.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The world's oldest living man has just turned 113 years and says he's going to be around at least 10 more years. Good for him. Born on May the 27th, 1909 in Venezuela, Juan Vicente Perez Mora is still in pink of his health and memory and does not take medication. He has no trouble recalling his childhood marriage and the names of his siblings, children, and grandchildren. He has 41 grandchildren, by the way. So what is the secret behind a long life? Work hard, rest on holidays, go to bed early, love for God, and always carry him in your heart. The Guinness World Records declared Perez Mora the oldest living person last week. The meadows in the foothills of the Swiss Alps have turned white these days, with locals calling it May snow. But it has nothing to do with snow. It's all about narcissus blooms covering the hills above the town of Montreux. Locals call the scene May snow because it looks like a blanket of snow from a distance. The flowers have been a tourist attraction since the 19th century, but factors such as urbanization have caused their decline in the past few years. Humans have disrupted the turtle survival for years due to their greed for meat, eggs, skin, and shells. But the decreasing population of the species is creating conscience of conservation. Cambodians have released hundreds of turtles of an endangered variety into the wild on World Turtle Day. About 600 Cantor's giant soft-shell turtles were let into a river in northeastern Cambodia. After people collected the species from a holding pool, Cambodian monks blessed the tiny creatures, then set them free. The Wildlife Conservation Society was the organizer of this event. It said that only a few records of Cantor turtles have remained in Laos, while they have mostly been wiped out in Vietnam and Thailand. The body has so far released over 1,500 hatchlings into the wild in 2022. Artists in a small town in the United Kingdom have created a massive bumblebee mural, hoping to raise awareness about this vanishing species. The mural was painted on the playing field of a primary school in the town of Haptonbridge. It was debuted on International Bee Day. The artist used paints typically used to draw lines for football pitches. Scientists say rising temperatures and heavy pesticide use are contributing to the decline in the number of bumblebees across Europe and North America. They say the population reduction rate is consistent with mass extinction of a species altogether. Children at a school have also created a wildflower meadow to help encourage bees to pollinate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salaamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special on IRIB English Radio. As I told you, this is today's special, and the topic for this episode is father-daughter relations.
You are a miracle. You are a blessing from above. You brought joy to my soul and pleasure to my eyes. In my heart I can feel it, an unexplainable feeling. Being a father, thing that I could ever ask for. Just thinking of you makes me smile. Holding you, looking in your eyes, I'm so grateful for having you. And every day I pray that you'll find your way. You know I love you.
Today, Friday, is the 3rd of Zilqa'dah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Retreat Calendar, corresponding to the 13th of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Retreat Calendar, and the 3rd of June, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. This is Chapter An-Nahl, verses 58 to 59.
وإذا بشر أحدهم بالأنثى ظل وجهه مسودا وهو كظيم.
And when one of them is informed of the birth of a female, his face becomes dark and he suppresses grief.
يتوارى من القوم من سوء ما بشر به. أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَىٰ هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ أَلَا سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ.
He hides himself from the people because of the ill of which he has been informed. Should he keep it in humiliation or bury it in the ground? Unquestionably, evil is what they decide.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In a tradition from the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, we read that he says, "What a nice child a person's daughter is. She is affectionate and of a great help. She is one's companion and she is clean while cleaning at the same time." In fact, such respect shown towards the personality of women has served as a cause for their liberation in the society and has put an end to the era of servitude and slavery of women. However, if it is unfortunate that in some Islamic societies, there are still those forms of ignorant thought prevalent, and there are still a good number of families who rejoice in having sons born to them and are disturbed by having daughters. Father-daughter relation. This is the topic of this episode. Your relationship with your daughter teaches her what value she has as a person. Her identity and self-worth develops from how you interact with her. When you neglect her, she learns to neglect herself. If you abuse her, she will learn to take abuse or become abusive. If you respect her, she will learn to respect herself and others. The way you relate with her will determine how she will relate with others and what kind of family life she will create for herself in the future. Seemingly unimportant chores are extremely valuable in teaching children the basic lessons of sharing, compromising, cooperating, respect, and responsibility. Your attitude toward everything you do is a loud and clear message to your children. Sometimes she can do things that she may think are boring, and sometimes you will do things that you are not interested in. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about relations between fathers and their daughters. In order to withstand those sinister forces and those unwelcome trends that are unfortunately quite prevalent in our communities, I mean, no matter where we are living, I mean, in any community, we may find many instances of such unfavorable and quite sinister and shocking relations. In order to withstand this torrent of destruction, moral destruction, it's one of the jobs and one of the simple ways that fathers may initiate in order to oppose and in order to nullify the conspiracies, or the moral conspiracies or educational conspiracies and crises, is by giving extra attention to their own daughters. In this way, we hope that the later on generations will come up with, better future. Also, in this connection, it must be indicated that from the ages 3 to 5 years old, daughters need the attention of their fathers. And at the same time, find that at this age, fathers are expected to be very much attentive to the fathers. Well, later on, when their daughters go to school, fathers are expected to show more attention and more sincerity to their daughters. And by and large, I mean, through following this trend of giving attention, the right attention, giving the right directions to the daughters, we hope that, inshallah, we will come up with a good and acceptable and favorable community in the future. Thank you.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
This part is special for fathers. Fathers, listen. What you need to know about raising daughters. Be the best example of a man you can be. Why? Well, besides the obvious, you'll be accountable for your actions. Your daughter will almost certainly use you as her standard when deciding on her future husband. As her father, you are the first man to whom she develops an attachment, whether the conditions of that attachment are healthy or not. Her expectations of a man will be affected by the way you treat her, her mother and others, the way you deal with emotions, your work ethic, and so on. The Messenger of Allah says,
the leader of the prophet, is a guardian and is responsible for his subjects. A man is the guardian of his family and he's responsible for them.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا ربي
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً
Daughters, 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 listen to this part carefully. A father helps his daughter overcome insecurities. A father makes his daughter feel like the most beautiful person in the world. You may not be perfect, but you will always be the perfect girl to your father. He helps his daughter overcome insecurities and imperfections. A father helps his daughter avoid toxic relationships in her life. Yes, a father who is compassionate, supportive, and respectful helps his daughter avoid toxic relationships in her life. He sets the ground for how she will be treated by others, especially men.
When it comes to kissing, Rasulullah says, and what the hadith mentions, that every time you kiss your child, your son or daughter, Allah grants you a house in paradise.
Wow.
So Rasulullah used to kiss his daughter, Fatima alayha afdal as-salatu wa-salam, every day. Every day he would go visit her, kiss her forehead, kiss her chest, kiss her hand.
To that extent.
To that extent. Stand up for her, show her respect. He would stand up, kiss her hand, tell her to sit in his chair.
Wow.
In his position, and then he would sit next to her, smiling in her face, you know, having a pleasant time with her. This is why she was so in love with her father. This is why when he passed, she couldn't stop crying, she couldn't stop shedding tears, because he was the greatest father that a girl could have.
Wow.
So he showed her her love and affection. That's what you need to show. This is your duty as a father. As a father to a son, maybe you need to show him strength. You need to tell him to start doing push-ups when he's, you know, 9, 10.
Yeah.
Show him that strength. Teach him how to, you know, go sell something, buy something, put him in the shop. Teach him how commerce is made. As your job. As a father of
a
girl,
a man.
When you're raising a queen, you need to show her love and affection. And if you don't, this is a lot of parents, you know, in our communities. They wonder why their girls, you know, start speaking to boys at an early age. Or why did this happen? Why did that happen? It's because you were never there.
Yeah.
You as a father, you're never there.
Mm-hmm.
Show people that she means the most to you,
mm-hmm.
and that will show her what you mean, what mm-hmm. she means to you.
That was interesting topic, the topic of father-daughter relationship. So, inshallah, we continue that. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you under Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. were like, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio.
Coming up is the news.